Lord, your presence is rich in this place. As we prayed earlier this morning, this is fertile ground for anything to happen. We honor you in this place, Holy Spirit. We thank you. We thank you for your enduring presence in our midst, we pray. We thank you for the scripture says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth just as the waters cover the sea. Lord, we pray that. Even, Lord, as we've talked this morning about that window, that 1040 window, Lord, where of the unreached around the world, we pray, Lord, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would come from here, move past this nation, and, Lord, reach the ends of the earth. Lord, even as we broaden our prayers and as we pray for Michelle and Pastor Carl and Lisa and the team, that, Lord, they may experience great grace in Tunisia, and that, Lord, your grace, like a wave, would flow from them, flow through that place and move into the nations of the world. That 1040 window would be touched with the presence of God. That, Lord, in this last hour, you would do a shaking of the nations, a shaking of the knowledge of God, a revival, nothing less. I pray for the nation of Africa, North Africa, where they are, Lord, that they would receive the gospel. From the south of Africa to the Horn of Africa, East Africa, where I come from, that, Lord, your gospel may move so powerfully that, Lord, it would break the bondages, the shackles, and that, Lord, your word would penetrate the hearts and the minds. Africa shall belong to Jesus. Africa shall be saved. We pray that for Africa. We pray that for the nations, for the islands of the sea, for the continents, for America, which needs to be reached. Father, we join our hearts. We lift up our prayers. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would move in the power of your Spirit, Lord, and bring in souls now, Lord. We pray that there may be a great harvest of souls in this last hour. And as a church, as a missionary church, we pray that you would use us, use our finances, use our prayers, use our own voices in preaching of the gospel. We commit ourselves, Lord, as a church in the spreading of the gospel around the world. And we thank you for the honor and the privilege of being part of this, Lord. We thank you for the times that we're living in, pivotal times, Lord, that we're living in, times that you've called us, Lord, to move out of our comfort zones, to move out and get out of the things that shackle us and move into the things that are deeper, things that are above us. Let your Holy Spirit move, the fire of your Holy Spirit move in our midst, we pray. Birth in us, Lord, a great thing. Birth in us an anointing, an urge, a thirst for souls. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Receive the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Is that awkward for anybody? Isn't it great? So that was exactly 60 seconds. So we find ourselves on this first Sunday of December, first Sunday of Advent, if you will. And a lot of different traditions celebrate Advent in a lot of different ways. In the Catholic tradition, they celebrate in a very liturgical, very historical, very consistent way. In the Protestant traditions, there's a lot of different interpretations. And I want this morning to bring maybe a different interpretation that you have experienced in your past, whether it be a church past, maybe it be an institutional past, whatever it might be. Just maybe it's you haven't even thought about the Advent season in the past. But I want to talk today about the miracle of the moment as we enter into this Advent season, and really what it all means is that miracle of the moment, that 60 seconds that we just experienced where only one person, and it doesn't surprise me, interrupted that 60 seconds at 58 seconds and he could not hold himself. And what's awesome is he's actually going to be teaching next week on Advent week 2. And I am more fired up about hearing him than I am about me speaking today. So Patrick's going to be with us next week, Sharon, and it's going to be awesome. But our life is marked, our lives are marked by moments, by moments. And when we think about moments, you know, 60 seconds, when we're sitting in silence, and Laura, I agree with you, that silence is like, oh, because our lives are so loud. Our lives are so busy. But in that 60 seconds, when you're having a good time, when you're enjoying doing something, it goes like that. But in that 60 seconds where it might be a little awkward, or you might be doing something that you don't like, or maybe it's 60 minutes, maybe it's 60 days, and you're in the midst of something that you just can't stand. You can't believe, God, really? You've got me in this moment for this period of time? It takes forever. So a lot of you know I travel for a living, and I'm on the road about 60 to 70% of the time. And this week is my last week of travel. I have 4 days. I leave tomorrow, and I get back Friday morning. And I want to apologize to all four churches I'll be with this week, because they're probably not going to get my best, because I can't wait till Friday. I can't wait till Friday. Now, that's not true. I'll give them everything I have every moment I'm with them. But I can't wait till Friday to walk off of that last stupid jetway in Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport and walk down whatever dumb concourse I'm in and down whatever stupid escalator I have to ride onto the plane train, out to the parking ride, and get in my car. And when I get in my car, I'll tell you right now that I'll let out an audible scream. Yes! Because then I won't travel again until January 7th. And that is awesome. But I'm going to tell you right now, this week is going to take forever. This week's going to feel like a year. I'm going to get tomorrow night to Orlando. No, I'm not going to Disney. I wish. Drive an hour, and that meeting will feel like it took 4 hours. And we all can identify with that. We all can identify with those moments in our lives when it's just kind of taken forever to see something happen or get something done. I want to give you some panic here for just a second. There's 23 days left until Christmas. 23, okay? And I did some research, and what that means is there's 552 hours, approximately 552 hours until Christmas. If you haven't started your Christmas shopping, you probably just went into another level of anxiety, okay? Because that's not a lot of hours. Now, let me just take that out a little bit further, and there's 33,120 minutes, approximately, until Christmas. And we shove so much into this season. So much into this season. I mean, think about it. We have presents to purchase and wrap, parties to attend, family gatherings to attend to, wrapping up a busy year, whatever it is that you find yourself in. But you know what? In those moments, and we hear it all the time this time of year, we miss the moment of the season. We miss the moment of the season. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. And maybe today won't be earth-shattering for you. Maybe today will be a simple reminder. Maybe today will be a simple encouragement. And maybe today you decide to make a commitment as we get near the end of the message this morning. So when we talk about those moments, as we talk about Advent week number one, have you ever stopped to consider how important timing is to everything in our lives? Everything. A moment of time is timing. A moment of time is timing. So I have concluded after yesterday, okay, that if sports teams from the state of Georgia would only have to play three quarters, we would win every championship known to man. Amen? Amen. And it's not just University of Georgia. And no, the fake punt did not cost them the game. There, I said it, okay? But the moment you watch a game yesterday, whether you watch the Clemson game or you watch the Oklahoma game or you watch the Georgia game, whatever it is, timing is everything. Timing is everything. Quarterback drops back for a pass. He throws that pass. The timing has to be impeccable because if not, a guy from 10 yards away from the play will streak towards the ball and make the interception on the 2-yard line, preventing the other team from getting a touchdown like that. A moment. Or a running back will take the ball from the quarterback and run it up the middle, and he'll cross the goal line, and as he's crossing the goal line, he'll fumble the ball, and as he's turning over on his back, the ball will just magically pop into his hands, and they'll get a touchdown. I'm not bitter, okay? But it's timing. It's timing. I love sports, so a lot of my analogies this morning are going to be sports. A basketball game. I love the outlet pass in a basketball game. The defender gets a long rebound and the guy's streaking down the court and he gives an outlet pass to the guard or the small forward that's streaking down the side, and then you've got a guy coming down the middle and a beautiful bounce pass. Poof, right down the middle, guy takes it right up for a layup. Timing, timing, timing. It's perfect. Have you ever played the game where you have to hit that stupid little white ball? You know what I'm talking about, Patrick. You know what I'm talking about, Dana. That dumb little white ball, golf. Timing is everything. When you come through the strike zone, if your club is off just a little bit, not on purpose, sometimes on purpose it's off, but if it's not flush with the ball at the right time, at the right moment, you'll look like me golfing. And you'll find yourself in the woods and going onto the beach to get the ball out of the water, and you'll be in the sand. I'm telling you. I should just play golf in the Middle East because I am in the sand all the time. All the time. It's the moments. How about a more poignant moment? September 11th, 2001. 60 seconds. 60 seconds was the difference for hundreds of people as it related to life or death. 60 seconds. The Flugstad family, who we're friends with, they're from Seattle. One split decision to ask for an extra refill on a cup of coffee at a restaurant adjacent to Tower 2 meant they weren't in Tower 2 when it collapsed. Split second decision. And you've heard me say it, you've heard Carl say it, more importantly, nothing happens by coincidence. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens for a reason, but everything is impacted by timing. Everything is impacted by timing. You know, when we talk about timing as far as our health is concerned, a diet, you know, timing for a diet, probably now is not the right time to go into a diet, right? But there are right times to go into a diet. I haven't figured it out yet, but there are right times and there are wrong times, okay? There are right times and wrong times for everything. 1 minute makes a difference. I want to read Galatians 4, verse 4. This is the passage that we're going to focus on this morning. It's very short, but it's very apropos to what we're talking about today. And Galatians 4, 4, it says this. It's an incredible verse, and it says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law." And I'm going to read verse 5 as well. "To redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Let me read that again. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the set time had fully come, do you see it? Timing. Do you know how much time in years there was between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament? Over 400 years. Over 400 years, they waited for the promise of a Messiah. Do you think they grew weary in waiting? Absolutely. How long has it been since Jesus ascended into heaven? It's been over 2,000 years. Over 2,000 years. 400 just seems like a drop in the bucket. But it says right here, but when the set time had fully come, there was a moment that God chose to send His Son. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't, oh gosh, I totally forgot. I think today probably is a good day to have my son be born. No, it was on purpose, by purpose, for a purpose. When the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. At just the right time, God sent His Son. Now listen, He came at the right moment. Let me just explain to you a few things that were going on prior to His arrival, prior to His birth, okay? The Bible says this, when the time came to completion, God sent His Son, but the reality is most people miss the miracle because of the busyness. What were they in the midst of? Why did Joseph have to go to Bethlehem? Census. Was it an easy journey? Probably not. Was it a comfortable journey? No. Was it chaotic? Was it filled with challenges and stress? Absolutely. Absolutely. And they were the only two that knew on the face of this earth that Mary was carrying the Son of God. Maybe that added a little stress. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I know it's stressful to be, I don't know that it's stressful to be pregnant. I've heard that it's stressful to be pregnant. I've been in the delivery room 3 times. That is a stressful moment, some longer than others. We'll get to that in a second. But it was stressful. And most of them did not. In fact, I would contend that all of them did not understand the significance of Christ's birth at this time. Obviously, the 3 wise men, the shepherds tending their flocks in the fields by night, all of them were given signs of the coming of the Messiah. But so many missed the significance of that moment. Warren Wiersbe, he's one of my favorite authors, and he wrote this. He says, historians tell us that the Roman world was in great expectation, waiting for a deliverer. At the time Jesus was born, the old religions were dying. The old philosophies were empty and powerless to change men's lives. Strange new mystery religions were invading the empire. Religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere. God was preparing the world for the arrival of His Son. From a historical perspective, God used the Roman Empire to prepare the world for the arrival of His Son. Now, it wasn't an uplifting empire. You can read the stories, you can read the accounts, but here's what I know. Several things happened as a result of preparations by the Roman Empire. They didn't do this because they knew Jesus was coming, but they did this because God directed them, because God knew Jesus was coming, and God knew how important these things were. Listen to this. The Romans had constructed roads that connected city to city, making travel easier. All roads ultimately led to Rome. The world was at peace at that time under Roman rule. Roman laws protected the citizens and Roman soldiers guarded the peace. Thanks to both the Greek and Roman conquest, check this out, Latin and Greek were known across the empire, making communication possible with many from all over the world. The Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah were completed. At just the right time, God sent His Son. Don't miss the miracle of the moment. March 31st, 1986, That's the day that I said yes to Jesus and accepted him into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. My dad led me to the Lord, and I remember the day as if it were yesterday where I said yes to Jesus, and in turn, I walked down to the front, accepted Christ, and I was baptized. I'll never forget that. It was Easter Sunday. I'll never forget that moment. That moment, although not everything's been perfect since that moment changed the course of my life forever, and it took that long. It took that long. I'll never forget all of my kids' dates of birth, ever. Sierra was born August 15th, 1997. 37 hours of labor. Yeah, I get fired up. She's back there cheering. And we tried and tried and tried to get pregnant with Peyton and finally got pregnant with Peyton. She got pregnant with Peyton. And that was March 30th, 2001, where he was born. And when he was born, the umbilical cord was tied in a knot. And so he's for us, he's a miracle child. Sometimes, maybe not as a miracle as others, but he's not back there, is he? He can probably hear me. Gary will tell him. And then October 29th, 2013. I'll never forget that day. Tammy was pacing around the house. Many of you women who have been pregnant know that when it's time, and Tammy was putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. We had been to the doctor earlier in the day, and she was dilated to 5. The doctor said, when you get to 8, we'll bring you in, and everything's going to be fine. Well, by the time she had her cup of soup from the El Jinete Mexican restaurant over off of Decula Road, she was eating that, walking around the house. She went to Kroger, walked around Kroger. I took Peyton to a friend's house to spend the night. Sierra went with us to the delivery room. Tammy said it was time. I never made it out of 10-minute parking at the hospital. Never made it out of 10-minute parking. We walked in. They put Tammy in a wheelchair, took her back to triage. She was at 8 at the time, went back to triage. 37 minutes later, 37 hours, 37 minutes later, Ava was born. Ava can hear me right now. I love you. And the doctor looked across Tammy at me and said, she was talking to me, but she was really talking to Tammy. Tammy, do you want an epidural? And Tammy's like, yes, yes. And the doctor's like, okay, we'll give you one. Because there just wasn't enough time. 37 minutes. Timing is everything. Because I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't have known what to do if she'd come any earlier. And it could have been a disaster. But timing is everything. So when we think about point number one today, we think about point number one, that he came at the right moment. He came at the right moment. It wasn't a mistake that he came 400 years after the end of the Old Testament. It wasn't a mistake that he came in the midst of the chaos and the census. It wasn't a mistake that he came after all of those things had been done and taken care of as far as infrastructure by the Roman Empire. It wasn't a mistake. It was at the right time. And mark my words, he'll come back at the right time. He'll come back at the right time. I don't know when it is. I'll never predict that. Because the Bible is clear, it says, no man will know the day nor the hour. He will come like a thief in the night. So all these people, and you've heard Carl make a mockery of them, and I think it's hilarious, but all these people that predict when Jesus is coming back, just when you hear that, realize he's not coming that day. That's not the moment, okay? In case you were wondering. But he's not coming on that day. Point number two this morning is he provides at the right moment. So he came at the right moment. And every occurrence in his ministry happened at the right moment. And he provides at the right moment. You know, it's easy for us. It's easy for us as humans. It's easy for us as Christians. It's easy for us as family members and friends. Just, especially this time of year, we kind of go through the motions, right? We have our traditions. I love tradition. Absolutely love tradition. And there are things that as a family we do every single year, and we've done every single year since Sierra was born. And if I love traditions, if you think I love traditions, try to break a tradition with that 21-year-old back there. It ain't going to happen. But I think sometimes we get the traditions in the way of the moment. We get the traditions in the way of the meaning. We mock this saying all the time. Jesus is the reason for the season. Why do we mock it? Because it's been so commercialized. It's buttons and it's hats and it's sweaters and it's sweatpants and it's socks and it's everything we can possibly use to market that phrase. We've done it. You think that there might be a reason for that? Do you think that happens by coincidence? I don't think it happens by coincidence. That there are buttons, shirts, hats, sweatshirts, sweatpants, socks, probably shoes, watches, jewelry with that phrase on it. I know it probably drives a lot of us nuts because it's commercialized it so much, but maybe God's using that. Maybe that's a moment. Maybe that's a moment that's a reminder for somebody who needs it. There's a lot of promises of God's provision in Scripture. I just want to read a few of them to you this morning. Psalm 145:15 says this, "All eyes look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time." Psalm 104:27 says, "All of them wait for you to give them their food at the right time." Deuteronomy 11:14, "I will provide rain for your land in the proper time, the autumn and spring rains, and you will harvest your grain, new wine and oil." God knows exactly what we need when we need it. You know, we read of these miracles that happen in the New Testament, but you know, there were miracles that happened. They weren't obviously done by Jesus in the Old Testament, but God performed miracles in the Old Testament. Have you ever read about the prayer of God sending in the midst of a drought? Just send a cloud the size of a man's hand so that we know you're there. That's not very big. The prayer that said this, "Sun, stand still. Sun, stand still." When they dug the ditches and they needed the rain to fill the ditches and they waited and they prayed and they waited and they prayed and they waited and they prayed, and what happened? At the right moment, in the right time, God provided the miracle. God provides at just the right moment. His timing is not always our timing. His timing is not always our timing, but His timing is perfect. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about yesterday. Tammy and I were talking last night, and she made a comment. She said, "You know, I think that provided something for some of those people that if we didn't provide it, they would never have received it this Christmas season." And that's something to do with their kids that's Christmas themed, that's free. Ryan and I had an awesome opportunity of getting, I think I'm still wet, but we were the umbrella runners along with Carl Pierberg out there yesterday. And it was pouring. Like, it was pouring. And we said to each other, I'll be shocked. I said this to him, "I'll be shocked if we get 50 or 60 people here." And at about 10 o'clock, the car started showing up. And they kept showing up. And they kept showing up. And they kept showing up. We had 110 non-crossing people here yesterday on a day where people shouldn't have been coming out. It's unbelievable. And when we would go to those cars, I would ask every kid, "Man, are you excited to see Santa?" And their faces would light up and the excitement on their face, incredible. And you know, if you're a parent, when your kids have that excitement on your face, it does your heart good. It's encouraging to you. I'll never forget one family, a mom with three little kids. She didn't come last year, she came the year before, and she came back again yesterday. And when I opened that little slider door on the van and her son was sitting in the back seat, I said, "Are you ready to see Santa? You had thought he won the Super Bowl." He got out of his seat, "Yes, Santa!" I mean, he was Elf. He was Elf. It was incredible. And thankfully, our Santa did not smell like beef and cheese. And he could drive. I had to go there. I'm sorry. Sorry to rip off that scab. But I'm telling you, yesterday was at just the right time, at just the right moment. And if you've never seen Scott Kalman take pictures of children, that dude is magical. Do you know how many parents came up to me as they were leaving, because we would walk them back to their car if we were available, and said, "Man, this is the first time my kid has not cried when they saw Santa." Dude, that's incredible. Carl Pierberg and I were standing out here, and it was about 9:45, and the crowd wasn't as big as we'd hoped maybe at that time, and it would have been easy to get discouraged, and we stood over there by the tree and just kind of looked this way across the rooms, and it was all crossing people. And it was smiles, it was laughter, it was having fun. It's like, who cares if anybody shows up? Man, we'll just make this a crossing Christmas party. The attitudes were unbelievable. And then the people kept coming, and they didn't leave. Like, we were shifting cars and trying to find parking spots, and it was amazing. But that moment yesterday, that 2.5 hour moment, was just the moment that some parents needed, that they would never have had this Christmas season had it not been because of your willingness to show up. Listen, I'm not a crafts guy. I don't know if that's a shocker to any of you, but I don't stay at home and do a lot of crafts. Okay, I did not decorate our Christmas tree. I know that's shocking to you. I cheered Tammy on along with several football teams yesterday. But some of you did crafts yesterday, and you're like, I'll never do this again, but it's for the children. Mary Dietrich. But I say that because, Mary, you did the Advent calendar, right? And I think you said, I'll never do that again. But I'm telling you, the parents and kids loved it. Loved it. What a great idea. But the right moment, the right time. God knew the people that needed this. I think we had seven new families that had not been at the crossing or had not been at Elf Help? Six new families that had not ever been at Elf Help before. That's awesome. That's awesome. So he provides at the right moment. Romans 5:6 says this, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." At just the right time. Do you think timing isn't important to God? Of course timing is important to God. Do I want to see Christ come back? I want to see him come back in my lifetime. Do I think that I will? I don't know. Here's what I do know. My great-grandfather, who I knew when I was 6 years old, talked about the second coming of Jesus. Some of you that are older than me, your great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers spoke about the second coming of Jesus. Be prepared. Now is the time. We're in the final days. We've been hearing this for years. So did they. So did they. Do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in being an ambassador for the only one who is worth being an ambassador for. Because you never know. You never know the moment that God is going to provide for you to be a witness to somebody who needs that witness, to be an encouragement for somebody who needs that encouragement. You never know. But if we grow weary and we become doubtful and we become skeptical, oh, I don't think this is ever going to happen. I don't even know if this thing is real. I don't know. I mean, whatever. We're going to miss the moment. We're going to miss the moment. Don't miss the moment. And then point number three today, and I don't typically take as long as Carl, but today I might. That's pretty awesome. Patrick will probably be 13 minutes next week. 13? 12. Good. Perfect. But point number three is this. He says now is the right moment. He says now is the right moment. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says this, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I heard it said several months ago, you know, God doesn't have any grandchildren. Like, my parents' faith is not my faith. My faith is my faith. I am a child of God. I'm not a grandchildren because my parents and my grandparents, I'm not a great-grandchild. I am a child of God. And just because we grew up in a Christian home, just because we grew up around Christianity, just because we grew up around the things of God and the things of Jesus, just because we grew up around those things does not mean that by association we are those things. Does not mean that by association we are a Christ follower. It's not something that we inherit from our parents. In Proverbs it says a good man will leave an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth will be stored up for the unrighteous. That inheritance is not talking about a spiritual inheritance. It's talking about a financial inheritance. It's taken so out of context. Oftentimes used as an excuse. Oh, if I just leave an inheritance of faith for my kids, that'll be enough. Well, that's awesome. But you know what? That's not your faith. Sierra is at University of North Georgia. She's a senior. But I got a gift yesterday that keeps on giving. Peyton got accepted to the University of North Georgia. Yeah, yeah. So for 4 more years. That's awesome. Ava's not allowed to go to college. I'm just kidding. But your parents' faith, your grandparents' faith is not your faith. Your faith is your faith. Maybe you have never truly made the commitment. You've never prayed to receive Jesus. I believe wholeheartedly that we do not give people, and I'm not saying the Crossing, the Big C Church, we do not give people enough opportunity to make that decision. We assume too often that everybody that comes into the church, oh, they get it. They get it. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care how long you have been around Christianity, around the things of God. Now could be the day of salvation for you. And I tell you, March 31st, 1986 was the greatest day in my life. Better than being married to my wife, better than my kids being born, better than any day in my life was March 31st, 1986. It was the day I said yes to Jesus, as I said before. Today could be that day for you. And it's a free gift. You don't have to do anything except say yes to Jesus. Repent of your sins and say yes to Jesus. And it says then you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Get fired up. That is awesome. That is awesome. Maybe today you've already made that commitment and you've reconciled that in your heart. Maybe today you need to make a different commitment. Maybe for you today, your commitment is to take a deeper walk. This Advent season, you know what? This is going to be my moment to take my walk with Jesus to a deeper level. And you know what? You don't even have to know how to do that right now. Just say, God, I want to take my walk to a deeper level. And then you know what? Find somebody that you trust. Find somebody that you respect, that you know, man, they've gone to a level in their spiritual walk that I want, that's where I want to be. And go tap them on the shoulder and just say, hey, help me. What have I got to do? That's discipleship. And that is a core in our direction moving forward. We want to come alongside of you and help you go deeper in your walk with Jesus and grow closer to Him. Maybe that's the commitment that you need to make today. Maybe for you, your commitment today is to serve at a deeper level. I went there. I think there was maybe a handful of people, and for good reason, I'm sure, that weren't here yesterday. But I don't know about you, Krista, but when we circled up in here and prayed prior to Elf Help, wow. It's every year. That yesterday is one of my favorite days at our church all year long. So just in case you're wondering, we're never going to stop doing that. Okay? You're welcome. But it was unbelievable to me how many people were here from the crossing serving. But if you're not serving, maybe it's time to make a commitment to serve at a deeper level. Maybe a deeper level of commitment to your family and or your spouse. Maybe you and your spouse have drifted apart in recent days or months. Maybe you have become estranged to your children in recent weeks or months. And you know what? They may not even know that you're making that commitment today to pour more, to focus more, to be more intent on growing your marriage and your family closer to Jesus. You know, Tammy and I, when we were going through premarital counseling way back in 1927, we were the only thing I remember from that. Okay, I remember one thing. So it was not very impactful for me, but, and Tammy would probably say, yeah, I know. But this is the one thing. Our instructor drew a triangle on the board. Many of you have probably seen this. And he put the word God at the apex of the triangle. And then on the right side, he put Tammy. And on the left side, he put Chad. And he said, you know what? The only way you guys are going to grow closer to each other is if you grow closer to God. There's no other way to do it. And it's truth. And maybe today, maybe it's you and your children. Maybe today is the day you need to make that commitment to your family, to your spouse. Maybe today is the day you make a commitment to just be a better you. Now, I'm not going to go all Joel Osteen on you, okay? So don't worry, okay? He's the only pastor I'll publicly shame. But maybe today is the day that you commit to being a better you. You growing deeper in your walk with Jesus. You growing deeper in your level of commitment to serve the kingdom of God. You going deeper in your level of commitment to your family, to your spouse, whatever that is for you. Maybe you've been coasting along at your job and just going through the motions. Maybe today is the right moment for you to say, you know what, I'm done doing that. I'm done coasting. I'm done going through the motions because I don't just represent me and my family. More importantly, I represent God. And God gave us His best, and He deserves nothing less than that from me. Maybe that's your commitment today. So as I finish up, the importance of the moment, the miracle of the moment. They waited 400 plus years for their Messiah to come, and they missed it. Most of them missed it. Why? Business. Too busy, too distracted by other things. Honestly, too distracted complaining about when the Messiah is going to come back or is going to come. And I think today we spend a little too much time complaining about or debating when the Messiah is going to return, when Jesus is coming back. You know what? He is coming back. That's what I know. I don't know when. I don't know. But I know that He is. And we need to live every day like it's that moment. Because there are people's lives who depend on it. You know what? The business, and that's a crass way to put it, but the business that we're in, it's a matter of life and death. The business that I'm in professionally is not a matter of life and death. For a lot of you, the business that you're in is not a matter of life or death. Business of taking the gospel to a lost and hurting and dying world is a matter of life or death, and sometimes it goes that fast. So don't miss the moment. So I want to pray for you this morning as we close, and you might find yourself in one of those areas of need to commit at a deeper level. Just agree with me in prayer. There's nothing magical about the moment, but I know that God hears you. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you know Jesus, or that you've really ever made that decision to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I would love to talk with you. I would love to talk with you just to make sure. Because again, as James says, life is like a vapor. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Not trying to scare you, but we have to take advantage of the moment. And we can't miss the moment. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your timing. Your timing is always perfect, always impeccable, rarely on our timing. And that's awesome. And God, this morning, as we come to you in prayer, as we quiet our hearts in the moment, as we still our hearts in the moment, Father, I want to pray for all of us here today. You know where all of us are. You knew our beginning before it began. You know the end before it will ever occur. And you know every occurrence that will happen in our lives. And as such, God, you know our hearts. You know our hearts better than we do. And God, this morning, if there is anybody in this room that does not know your son Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray today that you give them the courage and the boldness just to come have a conversation, just to ask the question, I'm not sure I know Jesus. How can I know for sure that I've accepted Christ? And God, today there might be some people in here that need to take their walk to a deeper level. I think all of us, we know that all of us need to be on that constant journey of becoming as Christ-like as we possibly can. That's why we're here. But God, sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we're distracted by so many different things. Sometimes we miss the moment. And God, let us not miss that moment of today as we prepare to usher into the Advent season. This moment where you sent your son was so impeccable, so perfect, but so missed by so many. And God, this morning, if people are here, they need to take their walk to a deeper level. God, I pray in the same way that you give them the courage, give them the wisdom. God, speak to their hearts even now. That's you. That's you. And allow us as a church to come around those people and disciple them and help them accomplish that through the leading of your Spirit. God, maybe there's people here today who have husband and wife who have grown distant to one another. God, it's easy to do in this busy season. We get distracted. But God, like we took that 60-second quiet moment at the beginning of the message today, give these husbands and these wives quiet moments together, free from distraction. They may not be able to see how that could happen right now. But God, give them those moments to reconnect with you first so that they can grow closer together as a couple. And maybe it's a commitment to growing deeper in our commitment to our family. Whether that be our children, whether that be our grandchildren, whether that be our husbands, our wives, whatever that context is for us, God, again, remind us what it is we need to focus on this holiday season, because it's not the trimmings, it's not the gifts, it's not the shopping, it's not the parties, it's not the outings, but Jesus is the reason for the season. And keep us ever reminded of that as we walk through these next 23 days, 525 hours, and 33,120 minutes. We love you. And God, we're so grateful for your love for us that we don't deserve, but you offer it to us freely. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Awesome. You guys have a great week. Please don't forget to pray for Pastor Carl and Lisa and Michelle and Dr. Carter and the team in Tunisia. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here Sunday for week 2 of Advent, as directed by Patrick Webb, Esquire. Awesome. Have a good week.